You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Everybody have your Bibles? You ready for some good stuff? It's all good, listen. I was reading through here just the other day thinking about how good everything is. Of course, I read through it every day, but I mean the other day I was really thinking about this. It's all good. Everything on the menu is good. Every meal I ever had is great. It'll all help you. It'll all bless you. Praise God. Turn to Deuteronomy 30. My pastor, Brother Osteen, used to always say, John Osteen, that's Joel Osteen's daddy. I get tickled. You talk to some people, and they'll say something about Joel. And Joel, you know, he's doing okay. But they'll talk about Joel, and I say, oh, yeah, we used to go to Lakewood, knew Joel when he was just a little kid, and his daddy was our pastor, John Osteen. They go, I never heard of John Osteen, but that Joel, he is really, it's a whole new generation, are you with me? It's a whole new generation coming on. And I just thank God, Brent and I do, for the time that we had there at Lakewood. It was such a blessing, it was a biblical Bible college, if you want to know the truth. You know what biblical Bible colleges are? Now stay with me. Thank God for Bible colleges and seminaries and universities that teach. There's some great colleges. But really, if churches taught the word as they should, they are Bible colleges.
Right.
And because they don't, we have to have those Bible colleges, and we're for that. And we're, all right, don't twist what I'm saying here. I mean, there's some great Bible colleges. That Rhema Bible College is a good Bible college that teaches faith and so on and so forth. But churches should teach that every service. Actually, you get a lot of hands-on ministry in a church that you don't get in a Bible school setting or in a classroom setting. You actually see operation of a service. You see people, and you get involved in the ministries, you'll see people get saved with outreaches and so on. You get involved with teaching classes and handling situations that are not in a book. Hello. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Okay, actually, you're really not interested in all that. But anyway, it's the truth nonetheless. So you're actually in a university, as it were, or a college, as it were, right here. Every church should be that way. If we're doing what we should be doing, and the Holy Ghost is moving, the Word's being taught, the worship is there, then there is a learning atmosphere. There is a growing atmosphere, a maturing atmosphere inside a church. And that's what we come to church for, is to grow, to learn, to get empowered, to go out and serve God. The real service really is when you leave this place. It's when you get out there in your neighborhood and your job, your relatives, and so on and so forth. That's when you let the light shine. Hallelujah. Here, we're just getting charged up, fed, as it were, the restaurant. This is where you get fed, where you get charged up. That's where you go out and you serve. We call this the service, but really, the service is outside of this building. That's where you have the opportunity to use what you learn to reach a suffering, dying world, a lost humanity out there that needs Jesus. You can shine your light out there. Amen?
Right.
Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 30, chapter 30. I mentioned Brother Osteen. He used to always say, you know, you get up and he'd say, well, I don't have anything fancy for you, but I've got cornbread and beans today. Everybody needs cornbread and beans. It's good for you. It's a simple message, but the simple things put you over. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. You have heard this before. You've probably read this before. You've heard me preach this before. And people often wonder, why do I preach things over and over again? Well, I'm waiting for you to get it. The 11th verse says, for this commandment which I command you this day is not too mysterious for you, neither is it far off. I think we often make God complicated, and we make His will complicated, and we make His desire for us, what He wants us to do, complicated. We kind of like it that way. That way we can always use that as an excuse. I just didn't understand, you know. I couldn't figure it out. I didn't know, you know. That's what kids say, you know, all the time when you get on to them. I didn't know. Although you told them, they still don't know. You ever had that happen? Okay, I didn't know. And then you even ask them if they just, you go watch them do something wrong. Did you just do that? I don't know. You know, I mean, that's just kind of a cop-out we like to use. We like to stay ignorant because if we stay ignorant, ignorance is bliss, you know. There's no responsibility with it. And if we can just stay ignorant, then we don't have to do anything because him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, it is sin. So I just rather not know anything, you know. Now, you know I love you, right?
Amen.
Okay, don't throw their hands up. I don't know that. I don't know. No, I do. I love you. But we often make this too hard. We make it way too hard. We make the will of God too hard. People, I talk to people all the time, love God, they're Christians. I just don't know what the will of God is for my life. I just don't know what He wants me to do. I just don't know what, you know, what I'm supposed to do. Well, hey, go love people. Go live for God. Get in church. The Bible tells you to do that. It tells you to forgive people. It tells you to live holy.
Amen.
I mean, there's a lot of things we do know what to do. Do if you spend all your time doing what you do know to do, you won't have time to worry about what you don't know what to do. Does that make sense?
Yes.
See, we're not doing the things we know to do. Just trying to figure out what we don't know, we're not even doing the things we do know. Jesus said if you go out and do His sayings, you'll be like a man built his house on a rock. And the winds will come, and rest assured, in this life, trials will come, winds will come, waves will beat on your house, rain will beat on your house. But if you are doing what you have heard from Jesus, if you're doing what you do know, you'll still be standing when it's all over.
Amen.
In fact, I really believe God does cover me in the areas I don't know, if I'm doing what I do know.
Exactly. Yes.
Does that make sense? But if I'm not doing what I do know, He's not going to cover me in what I don't know. He'll take care of me if I'll be responsible enough to do what I do know. Everybody knows you ought to love. Well, go do that. Everybody knows you should come to church.
Amen.
Yeah, but I want to do something else. That's kind of what we want. You know, we don't want to do that. We want to do something else. Hello. Yeah, but you know, the things that that seemingly you like to do or that you'll enjoy doing, you get to do more of those if you do the things first that God tells you to do first. If you'll eat your spinach, you'll get that bowl of ice cream. Yeah. I'm amazed at how my kids all of a sudden got real hungry for things they didn't like when I told them what they could have if they would just do what I told them to do. Give me that spinach. Hello. Well, the commandment which I command you this day is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It's not way off out there. So the will of God is not something real complicated. In fact, I'm thinking of Ephesians 5:17 says, "Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." That's a good verse, isn't it? I mean, you think about that. God wants us to understand what His will is. Now, if He wants us to understand what His will is, then obviously it is understandable. It is reachable. It is attainable. It's doable. Why would God ask us to do something that can't be done? God doesn't ask us to do things that can't be done. He's God. He asks us to do things that we can do. Amen? And so when He talks about His commandment, it's not a complicated thing. It's real simple. And He goes on and says in the 12th verse, "It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who shall descend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it?'" See, here's the lie we often buy in life. I'm just not special. There are special people out here that can do things that I just can't do. And I'll never be able to do this. And I'll never be able to have this. It's just people that succeed in life just have a special gift. People that count in life are just born that way. And the only way I could ever make it is for one of them to do something for me. Getting quiet in this Pentecostal church. It is not in heaven that you should say, "Who? Who?" Everybody say, "Who?" I can tell you who. Who is? Who is you? Who is you? Who is me? Who is me? I'm Michael Williams. That's who me is. Anyway, okay. All right. "Who shall ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it?" 13th verse. "Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who shall go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it?" 14th verse. Listen closely. "But the word is very near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart that you may do it." Isn't that good? It's not complicated. It's not way off somewhere. It's not for special people. You know, there's just the Billy Grahams and the Oral Roberts and the Kenneth Hagins and the John Osteen's and, you know, these guys, they're just special. No, they were just people that listened and obeyed. That's what they did. And if you listen and you obey, God will bless you. If you'll do what God says to do, praise God, He'll work on your behalf. But He is not going to do for you what He wants you to do for you. He's not going to, you know, there comes a point in a child's life when you have them at the table and you're helping them eat and so on and so forth, that they need to feed themselves. Yes. They need to voice out past the butter instead of And you need to hold your ground. And you need to be firm. And you need to stand firm until they start using their ability and start maturing. Are you with me?
Amen.
And I think sometimes as Christians we're that way. We're still waiting for everybody else to do it for us. Hello. And God is telling us, if you will stand up and you will believe and you will call and you will cry and you will voice my word, if you will do it, then He'll move on your behalf.
Amen.
Many times we're saying we're waiting on God, but actually He's waiting on us. Many times we think we're just being, we're standing, but we're not standing on anything. You know, Ephesians 6 chapter talks about the armor of God, putting on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand an evil day. And it says, having done all, stand. Well, most people were standing, but they hadn't done anything. After you've done everything, that's when you stand. After you've done everything you know to do, after you've already prayed and believed and stood on God's word, then you stand. Then you wait. But you don't wait before you act. You act and then you wait. You act on a word and you wait for it to come to pass. You make the take the initiative. It's not complicated. It's not way off out there somewhere. It's not something someone else can do for you. It's what you will do. It's what you decide. It's what you believe. If you call on God, God will hear you. God loves you.
That's right.
And God's waiting on your cry.
Amen.
He's waiting on your call. Well, I was born in this family or that family. It doesn't have anything to do with what family you're born in. It doesn't have anything to do with how much money you have in the bank account.
Right.
It doesn't have anything to do with your social standing, as it were. Doesn't have anything to do with your color of your skin. Whether you're black, white, Hispanic, red, yellow, blue, polka dot, it just doesn't matter. That is irrelevant. There is just one race in Christianity, and He's made all nations one blood in Christ Jesus, and we are Christians. We are believers. Who cares what color the skin is, how much darker your skin is than mine, or lighter than mine, or what your background was? If you're in Christ Jesus, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Think about it. And you can make it. And you can win. And you can find out what the will of God is if you will make the choices and you will stand on the Word of God. It's not someone else going and doing it for you. It's you doing it. It's you believing it. It's you praying. God hears your prayer. He's waiting on your call. He's waiting on you to cry. Hallelujah.
Yes.
That's good.
Woo!
That's good.
It's not way off somewhere. It's not something someone else has to do for you.
Amen.
God's waiting on you to call.
Amen.
But the word is very near you, 14th verse. In your heart, in your mouth, that you may do it. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I read quite a bit of Judges last night. And it's an amazing story in Judges. It's when you think about the children of Israel, how they get in sin and they cry out and God sends them delivered. And they get in sin, they get in bondage. And then they cry out to God and God sends them delivered and they get free. And then they get in sin again and they go back in bondage and then cry out to God and God will send them delivered and then they get free. And it's just over and over and over and over. The whole book's that way. It's just amazing. You think, come on, wake up and smell the roses. You know, somebody just didn't have a Starbucks. I mean, they just didn't have it back then. I don't know.
Amen.
You know, they just weren't awake. And yet we do the same thing. I mean, we just kind of go through these cycles of just crying out to God and so on. And then we'll blame God. Even in the wording there in Judges, it says something about the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and all of them. It says He left them in the land that He might test and prove them. Of course, we get all confused about testing and proving. Actually, what He did, He left them in the land because they left them in the land. Because they were responsible for running them out of the land, and they did not completely run them out. In fact, it says that over and over. It says they went in and took this place, but they did not completely run them out. And so the Canaanites dwelled with them to this day. And then it says God left them in the land. And it says God did not drive them out. Whoa, wait a minute. He told them to drive them out, and they left them in the land. Then it says God did not drive them out, but left them that He might test and prove them. How? How does God test and prove? Think about this. He tests and proves with His Word. In other words, He'll allow everything in your life to stay there if you don't run it out.
That's good.
And anything in your life that's messing you up that you don't call on God to help you with, It's going to stay there. God's not going to remove it till you call on Him. In every case, when they called on Him, He would send a deliverer. And it's always amazing, the deliverer, now this is important too, the deliverer was not alone. The deliverer would unify forces and get people behind him, and then they would go out and they would attack and they would deliver. The deliverer would wake them up. Oh, that's better preaching. Y'all are amening. See, I'm not, as a pastor, I'm not here to set you free. Are you kidding? Jesus is the one that sets us free. But you know what I am here to do? I am here to wake you up. I'm here to wake you up. That's what I do. Wake up and unify. Wake up and unify. See, we have a common cause, a common goal. We have a common leader, as it were. I'm not God. I'm not a dictator. Stay with me. But I'm a gift. Every church has a pastor that's a gift from God to wake them up. Sound the trumpet. And really to wake us up to the fact that the gate's open. What are you doing in a prison? To wake us up to the fact that we can do this, and we don't have to go off somewhere to get it done. We can do this. Amen. It's in our heart. It's in our mouth if we will just say it and do it. That's right. We can overcome. We can win. We can be delivered. We can be set free. Amen. What are you doing being captivated? What are you doing dwelling with all those inhabitants? What do you got all that stuff living in your house for? I'm not talking about your kids. Cover my bases. What are you doing putting up with all that? Well, I'm waiting on God to set me free. Well, God's waiting on you to believe Him and stand on His Word. I'm waiting on a deliverer to come. Well, no, wait a minute. Deliverer, all deliverer does is just unify and wake you up. That's all. And get you in faith and get you to believing. And whatever you allow in your life, God will allow in your life. Why? Why is that? Because God gave you the power to take care of it. And He will help you. As soon as you stand up, He'll show up. Hello? As soon as you rise up, He'll be there. Amen. He will always help you go over. He'll never help you go under. Amen. You have to do that all by yourself. Mm-hmm. If you decide to go sin, live in sin, go under and be defeated, well, you know, He just has to back off. He'll just let you stay there because, see, God doesn't help people go under. He just helps people go over. Amen. Amen. And so He'll show up when you stand up. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, man, I'm about to preach myself happy. I'm so glad I came today. Hallelujah. Yes, brother, amen. Don't hang up now. So it goes on and says this 14th verse, but the word is near, very near you in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. And this is often misunderstood, the 15th verse. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. God's not behind the death. He's not behind the evil. Actually, God's behind the life and good. But He made the world in such a manner that if you're going to sin, evil's going to come. If you're going to live righteously, blessing's going to come. That's the system. That's the world. That's the world we live in. That's the way God made it. He's not the author of the evil. He's not the author of the bad. In fact, that really is the result of sin. Not always yours. Sometimes it's just Adam's sin. It's just the world we live in. Sometimes things happen to you when you're doing everything right. We live in a broken, fallen world. But good news is you can rise up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus told us in the New Testament, John 10th chapter, 10th verse, says, a thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And even in this chapter, God comes down to the point and tells us what His will is. His will is not that you choose evil, not that you do evil. His will is that you choose life. So although it's out there and He's allowed it, we say He allowed. Well, to allow is not to ordain. And to permit is not to commit. God does not commit evil, nor does He ordain evil. He allows it just like you do. But you can stop it. You can stop the insanity. Hello. You can wake up. Wake up to who you are in Christ Jesus. Wake up to the choices that you have in life. Life's not a series of chances. That's what this chapter tells us. Life is a series of choices. You and I have choices to make. You don't have to continue down the road you're on. Maybe you're on a bad road. I don't know. Maybe you had a bad upbringing. I hope not, but it could have happened. Maybe you had a poor family life. That sometimes does happen. We live in an age where that's very common now. But you know what? It's not the time to blame your parents. It's not the time to blame your upbringing. It's not the time to blame everybody that has done something to you or hurt you in your life. It is the time to rise up and to believe God and stand up. And if you'll stand up, God will stand up. If you'll speak up, God will speak up. If you'll cry out, God will come down from heaven, hallelujah, and He will deliver you. But he is waiting for you to take that initiative, to stand on his word, to cry out unto him. And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved and shall be delivered. How much of it do you want to put up? I can't believe God's allowing all this in my life. I can't believe you're allowing all of it in your life. I can't believe God's putting up with all this in my life. God's thinking, I can't believe they're putting up with all that in their life. Hello? How much are you going to put up with? How much are you going to live with? Lay down with the dogs, you get fleas. I'm just trying to help you. So he says here, 15th verse, I set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you to love the Lord your God. This is God's command now. He didn't command us to hate, to sin. He commands us to love and do good. Amen. I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments, His statutes, His judgments, that you may live and multiply. This is the will of God. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go in to possess. This is what God wants in our life. God does want to bless us, but we've got to rise up.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, Lord, who are you going to send over here to help me do that? I'm sending you. And that's the point. That's the context of the whole thing. Who is it? Oh, wait, can I send someone over the sea to get it from? Can I send someone up to heaven to bring it down? No, you can't send anybody because it's up to you, big boy. It's up to you, Bubba. I have to watch saying that south because four or five people in the congregation think I'm talking about them. You know. No. Go on, I'm from East Texas too. I ain't got to, you know, I'm talking about me. You know. Like that preacher in that country church said, Bubba, take the offering up. Five guys stood up real quick. You know. Okay. Oh, come on. Come on, stay with me now. 17th verse. But if your heart turns away, here's the problem. See, our heart turns away. That's our problem. We have found the enemy. He's us. See, we've got to take care of us. We've got to look at ourselves. Now, I'm not saying being selfish. I'm saying we quit looking at everybody else. Look at yourself. Yeah. Quit blaming everybody else. Blame yourself.
Yep.
Right. I understand. You understand when I say this. Just because crisis happens doesn't always mean it's your fault. And we know that. I know that. We live in a broken, fallen world. I'm saying there's a lot of things that are self-inflicted, though. Come on. There's a lot of trouble and pain in your life that is self-inflicted. Bad decisions, bad choices, bad behavior. Are you with me? And you got to change that behavior. You know, there's a saying goes, you can't talk your way out of a situation you acted your way into.
Yeah. That's right. Sure.
Yeah. You behave your way into a situation, you're going to have to behave your way out of it. You got to change your behavior. And there are laws and principles that govern the earth. I mean, if you jump off the roof, you hit the ground, that's called gravity. And so if you break your leg, you can't blame anybody. That's just gravity. You got to learn to work with the law. Okay? Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. So if you're sowing bad seeds, that's what's going to come up. If you're going out in your backyard and planting weeds, you can expect weeds to come up. May not be today, may not be next week, but it's coming up because whatever you plant is going to come up. And your sins will find you out. But turn that around. Start planting some good seeds. Start planting what God says. Start doing what God says. And little by little, maybe not overnight. You didn't get in that mess overnight. Probably won't get out overnight. But you can get out.
Yes.
And you can get on the road. And you can systematically, little by little, week by week, month by month, year by year, you can get out of this mess, and it's worth the effort and the time and the sacrifice.
Amen.
And one day you'll wake up like you're waking up from a dream. And you say, oh my God, He's been good to me. Because you started doing what He said to do. Somewhere in your past, you started doing the right thing, getting on the right road. But you made that decision. That's your decision. You have to make it. God can't make it. God already loves you, and He's already for you, but He's waiting on you to call. And waiting on you to come. And this is what He's instilling in them here, and we see it all through the Bible. If we have time, I'll get to some more verses here in other books, maybe in the New Testament. Y'all stay with me. Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
Okay. He says this in the 17th verse, but if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish, and you shall not prolong your days. Who shall not prolong their days? You shall not prolong your days. You shall not prolong your days. Now, you know, that's true in sin. That's true in bad decisions. That's true even health-wise. You know, we hear a lot about health and eating right and so on and so forth. You know, a lot of diseases, doctors say today, some 70% of diseases that people contract in older life is self-inflicted through lack of diet or exercise. That's just a simple thing. I'm not on that bandwagon. I'm not up here preaching that gospel. I'm just saying you can't just keep hitting yourself in the hand with a hammer and expect the pain to go away. Got to quit that. And some things are self-inflicted in that way. We can see that physically, but just take that over into the realm of the spirit. If you start sinning and you decide you're going to be a bitter person or you're going to be someone that asserts your, you know, gets your way and it is in everybody's face. Every time you want something, you're going to demand it, and you're going. If you're going to be that kind of person, those kind of seeds are going to produce some terrible fruit down the road.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Mean people get meaner. Good people get gooder. Little things that we do turn into big things because they turn into habits and lifestyles. We first make our habits, then our habits make us. Hello. But you got, what kind of person do you want to be? That's a good question. Well, start doing the things today that the kind of person you want to be would do. Not going to happen overnight, but if you'll start doing the things today that the kind of person you want to be would do, you'll start becoming that person. And the ultimate good person to be is the one that God tells us to be. And start doing the things that God tells us to do. You do it. It's not somebody else's responsibility. It's your responsibility. This is good news. You are responsible for your destiny. You're responsible for your future. Whether you go to heaven or not is your choice, not God's. God's already made His choice. He sent His Son. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whether you call or not is your choice, though. It's not somebody else's decision. It's not something somebody else can do for you. You've got to do it yourself. But God gives you the strength, and He gives you the ability, and He gives you the willpower to do it if you so choose. In fact, if you make one step, He'll meet you there. He'll make two. If you draw nigh to God, the Bible says He will draw nigh to you. Hallelujah. Just waiting on the call, that's all. He's waiting on just dial His seven digits. Or what is it now? It's 10, isn't it? Got to dial the area code now, so it's dialing. You need to be dialing His 10 digits. You know that old song? Just go ahead and call Him up. Call Him up. Tell Him what you want. You remember that song? Uh-huh. Call Him up. Call Him up. Tell Him what you want. Call Him up. Call. Tell Him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Amen. If you want the Holy Ghost. Right,
yeah.
Okay. Waiting on a call. He says here in the 19th verse, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Whose choice is that? That's my choice. That's your choice. All the things that God has available, all the things that God wants to do, all of His wonderful promises, all the wonderful blessings that are within the pages of this book are waiting on your call. This is like a phone book, okay? Here it is. Who are we going to call today? Well, let's call up a little heathen. Psalms 103, verse 3. He forgives all my iniquities. He heals all my diseases. Woo! Let me ring that number. Amen. Waiting on your decision. You need some peace? Well, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace of mind and stayed on thee. Isaiah 26:3. Because he trusteth in these, the rest of that verse says. So call that up. Put that in your phone book. Put that in your five. Whatever they call that. Put it on speed dial. I mean, where you just push one number and there, Isaiah 26:3. Woo! I got perfect peace. Keep my mind stayed on him. Amen?
That's good.
Amen. Hallelujah. So he's waiting. He's waiting. I call heaven and earth as witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Does God want you to be cursed? No. He says choose life. Amen. Does God want you to die? No. He wants you to live. Choose life. That both you and your descendants may live. That you may love the Lord your God and you may obey His voice, that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days. and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord sware to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. This is your heritage. This is your right. This is God's will. Listen, what are you doing in the pigsty? Come on out. Yeah. It's not a sin to be poor, but it's a sin to not want to get out of it. Yeah. It's not a sin to be sick, but it's a sin not try to get well. Are you with me? It's not a sin to have problems at all. Problems come. We live in a world of problems. But the sin is to lay in that thing and to wallow in that thing and never call out, never cry out, and never believe God, and never get someone to trust God with you and believe with you. Come on. It's a sin to stay there. That's the sin. Nobody's coming against anybody that's had problems. We've all had problems. We've got no stones to throw. Hello. But let's get out of that mess. You say, well, I feel like I'm in the first grade. That's okay. Everybody starts in the first grade.
That's right.
Let's just get out of there and go to the second.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Just rise up and get through the first grade. Let's get through that first grade and let's get to the second grade.
Yeah.
Well, man, I'm just barely paying my rent. Well, let's believe God and let's start trusting God and doing what we're supposed to do, tithes and offerings and all those things. So do what we know to do. And let's trust God, and let's get people to pray with us, and let's get to where we can pay that rent. You know what? Then let's get to where we can buy us a house. That'd be wonderful. But that's okay if you're renting. That's fine. Let's believe God to get that taken care of. Wherever you are, let's get that taken care of. Let's trust God where we are. Maybe you don't have a car. Well, let's believe God for a bicycle. I mean, are you serious? Are you listening? You're thinking, what? Are you serious about this? Yes, I am. I'm serious about this. Start where you are. You're not going to be a millionaire overnight. That's not what we're talking about. We're saying start where you are and let's go up a little here. Let's choose life. Hallelujah. I don't have many clothes. Well, just wash the ones you have. Okay? Keep them clean. Wash them. Are you with me? I can't get my hair done in fancy places. Well, just wash the hair you have, okay? Okay. Well, I don't have any deodorant. Use soap. Come on. For us, use soap. Come on. I don't know how I'm getting off all this. If you're faithful in the little, he puts you over the much. Isn't that right? You're not... We're not talking about being a rock star. Who wants to be a rock star anyway? Good Lord, I just want to be a Jesus person.
Amen.
Amen. But I can come out of that mess. I don't have to live in sin. I don't have to live with addictions and habits and all those kinds of things. I can overcome that. Hallelujah. I can. I can make a choice. I can make a decision. I can call on God. God will hear me when I cry. His ears open to my cry. Hallelujah. Woo! This is my choice. In fact, that's what Joshua said. Notice in Joshua 24, before Joshua passed away, he divided up, of course, the land to all the tribes. And they didn't drive all the inhabitants out either. And it cost them. It'll always cost you to not drive out of your life things that are bad habits, addictions, whatever, sin. You're the one that's going to pay. You are the one that's going to pay. If you dwell amongst them, you're going to pay. That's why you need to rise up and drive it out. You need to get rid of those addictions. You need to get rid of that sin. You need to get rid of that bitterness and that anger, whatever that is, that unforgiveness. If you've got unforgiveness today, you need to get rid of it. It will kill you. It'll ruin you. It's going to destroy your life.
Amen.
You know, St. Augustine said this. He was a great saint back in the 4th, 5th century. He said, if a bad man sins against you, forgive him, lest there be two bad men. Because many times from hurts in the past and sins in the past that people have committed against us, because we haven't forgiven them, we've taken on a spirit of bitterness and anger and hurt. And now we're in sin because we didn't do what we're supposed to do. And yet, if we had forgiven them and we had prayed for them and we had lifted them up before God and asked God to help them and asked God to restore them and asked God to forgive us for any bitterness on our part, we'd be free of it. Would be absolutely free. I've had people come to me over the years, and you probably had this happen too, says, I just got to talk to you. You know, years ago, such happened, and I got mad at you, and I just, you hurt me, and I just didn't forgive you, and I've been mad about it all this time, and I just got to ask you to forgive me. I don't even remember what it was. I got over it, you know, whatever it was. And it might have been a misunderstanding. It might have been something I just said, didn't even know why I said it, or You know, one person got mad at me because I didn't run back and shake their hand one time. Not y'all. Come on. You know. They thought I was ignoring them because I didn't go to the back and shake. I wasn't even going to the back at that time. This was years ago. Now we start going to the back, and some of you guys slip out that door over there, and I don't get to you. Well, don't you go home and get mad at me about that. Because I can't be at three doors. But you ever had somebody come to you and they've been miserable all their life and you didn't even know what was going on? See, you were free of it. You didn't even remember it. Sometimes you don't even remember the incident. I've had that happen. See, you just belabor something like that and it just eats you up. Because you won't let it go. You know, you're waiting for somebody else to fix it and you're the one that's got to fix it. By trusting God, by standing on God's word. Amen? By a choice that you make. Joshua says this and he addresses all of Israel. In the 24th chapter of Joshua, the 15th verse, he says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord," this is interesting, "choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." You choose. Notice Joshua didn't even make a choice for him. He said, "You're going to have to choose." The great Joshua couldn't make the choice for them. They individually had to make those choices, and you do too. I can't make choices for you. I can tell you what the Word says. I can pray for you. I can preach to you. I mean, I can pour my heart out to you, but you've got to make the choices.
That's right.
You have to make them, and I have to make my choices too. When we walk out of this building, I've got to make choices. Every day I've got to make choices, whether I'm going to serve God or not serve God, whether I'm going to live for God or not live for God, whether I'm going to stand up for Jesus or not stand up for Jesus, whether I'm going to go the way of the world or go the way of... You know, of the Word of God. So it says here, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." Choice, that's in your ballpark. That's in your court. The ball's in your court. Choices, that's what you do. You make choices. Life's a series of choices. If you choose to serve God, He'll help you. Well, I wish I could. Well, you can. You can. Well, I sure would like to. Well, all you got to do is choose to. Why yield your body and your life and your time to the devil? Why do that? Why be a part of the problem? Why contribute to the problem, to the sin of the world, when you could be contributing to the cause of Christ? When you can make a decision to serve God and be a part of the answer instead of part of the problem? Wow. That just doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? That's why sin never really makes any sense. That's why when you get mad and I get mad, we are not in control of our faculties. We're really not. That's when people say, they start hollering and screaming and say, "Well, I'm just taking control." No, you're losing control. You're out of control. "I'm just going to take control." No, you're losing it. You're losing completely. So he says this, "Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served were on the other side of the river," he's talking about those way back in Ur of the Chaldees, "or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." No, actually he was talking about the Israelites' gods. Actually, I've totally confused you, but anyway. Choose whether you're going to serve God or the devil, okay? Yeah. "But as for me and my house," Joshua said, "we will serve the Lord." Amen. Do you know you can choose who your house serves? I made that choice a long time ago. The world doesn't choose whom I serve. I choose who I serve. My job doesn't choose who I serve. I choose who I serve. Even my relatives, as much as I love them, they don't choose who I serve. I choose who I serve. My race doesn't choose who I serve. You know, I'm part English, part Irish, part French, part Cherokee Indian. I'm just a little everything. Oh, yeah. But none of that matters. It just does not matter. I tell you what matters. When I was 19 years old, I accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And ever since then, I've been a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm born again, going to heaven. Hallelujah. Flushed in the blood. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Isn't it good? Nobody chooses me what I serve. I serve God because I choose to. You can serve God if you choose to. You can make it if you choose to. You can go over if you choose to. Are you with me? You can be used by God if you choose to. If you choose to, well, I wish I could. You can, if you choose. You choose who you serve. Yeah. You got to make a stand. Yeah. You got to stand for something, or you'll fall for everything. Make a stand. Turn to Romans 10. We'll close this out. Is this helping you?
Yes.
Hallelujah. You know, God called me to come to Wills Point, Texas, start a church here. There was already a Bible study going for years. Some ladies have been praying for about 10 years for a church like this. Dr. Galloway had a Bible study for a couple of years there and had a lot of people come. Some of the people here in this building right now were in that Bible study. There were some ladies here that were with those ladies praying for a church like this. I mean, there's Mary Beth and Emily was here. And Maxine's gone on to be with the Lord, you know. But you know what? With all that going on, all them praying, and even Dr. Galloway, you know, having that Bible study and getting people together and so on and so forth. We're talking 26 years ago. With all that going on, and God calling me up here, with all that going on, I still had to make a choice. I had to choose to come. God at one point dealt with you about being a part of this church. God probably tugged at your heart and pulled at you, nudged at you. You probably felt His presence. Some of you probably felt His presence to come. I mean, there's like a pull, a call, but you know, still, you had to make a choice. Even with God calling, you still have to choose. And I think of my destiny. You know, of course, my destiny is good because it's God's destiny. It's God's will. But, you know, I had to choose that. We often have the idea it doesn't matter what you choose, God makes choices for you. God does not make choices for you. Very plainly, you read it and I read it. We saw it right there. He said, you choose. God sets them all out there, but He compels you and He admonishes you to choose one above the other, but it's still your choice. That's why God loves it when you love Him, because you don't have to. You choose to. That's when I say I'm a servant of Christ. I'm not a slave in the sense that He empowered me. He came over me and captivated me and made me His slave. No, I chose to submit to God. I chose to serve God. Amen? That's why God loves that. Amen? Romans 10, let's close this out. Romans 10, verse 6. Romans 10, verse 6, yeah. But the righteousness of faith speaks on this wise. Everybody say, speaks. If you have faith, you do speak. Don't fall in that trap. It's just private, personal. I don't ever talk about it. Well, you don't have faith, because if you have faith, faith speaks. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who shall ascend up into heaven? See, this is a repeat of Deuteronomy 30, New Testament, New Covenant. Do not say, who shall ascend up into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. If Jesus would just come down here and do something. Truth be known, He already did. Or, who shall descend into the abyss, that is to bring up Christ from the dead? Well, He's already done that. I'm sorry. You can't send anybody down there to bring Him back up. He's already come up. Are you with me? But what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. I think that's significant because it's not just talking about eternal life and going to heaven. I think it's talking about trials and tribulations and crises and problems that we run across. Something goes wrong, we think, well, if God were here, He'd do something. I wish somebody would go get Him. Well, now, who are you going to send up there to get Him? The word's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved, delivered, healed, set free, whatever the case may be. Wah, wah, wah. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Come on. Hee-haw. She met another and she was gone. Get out of that mood. Quit playing the blame game. Quit looking for somebody else. Listen, you stand up and believe God. You call on Jesus. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, if you believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. You shall be delivered. You shall be healed. You shall be set free. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Amen.
With your heart you believe unto righteousness. With your mouth you confess into salvation. Use your mouth. Use your heart. You cry. You call. You're somebody. You count.
That's right.
You're important. You got a destiny. You got a future. God loves you. He loves you. He doesn't love somebody else. He loves you.
That's right.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Somebody else is important. No, you're important.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, somebody else can do something. No, you can do something.
That's right.
You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Quit looking all around and just start believing God. Really, just quit looking all around. Start looking up.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Because things are looking up. Things are looking up for the one that will call on Him, that will make that decision, that will choose to believe Him. It's not far off somewhere that you'd send somebody over to get it. It's not across the sea or over a mountain. No, sir, it's in your heart and in your mouth. If you choose to believe this day, God will set you free. Amen. When you make the choice, you will be set free. Any self-help program or rehab or Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, all of them, something in common with all of them, if you talk to those guys that have been in and out of those programs and some of those leaders and teachers, they'll all say this, well, when that person makes that decision to get help, they'll get help.
That's right.
And mama can't do it, and a wife can't do it, and a husband can't do it, but when they finally decide they want some help, they'll get some help. That's true just in the natural. And see, we know that in the spiritual, that's what God's saying. When you decide you had enough, remember that guy at the Pool of Bethesda? John, the 5th chapter, Jesus walked up, and there's a man crippled from his mother's womb. He was laying over there by the Pool of Bethesda, and an angel would come down from time to time and trouble the water. And when the water would be troubled, whoever got in first would be healed of whatever disease they had. And Jesus looked over at the man and said something about, you know, what are you doing? You know, he says, well, would you like to be healed? And he said, well, I don't have a man to put me down into the water. There's a man who was looking for somebody else to help him out. He was looking for an excuse and somebody else to blame. You know what Jesus told him? He says, take up your bed and walk. And thank God he did. He rose up healed. Jesus actually asked the man, will you be healed?
That's good. Yes.
That's good. Will you be healed? Will you be whole? Will this happen, that happen? No, that's not the question. Will you be whole?
Yes.
Do you want to be free?
Yes.
You can.
Amen.
You can. God loves you. He's for you. If you call, He'll help you. He will. He absolutely will. But you got to want it. You got a call. And if you will, praise God, choose you this day whom you serve and choose life and blessing this day. Amen.